the Edge with April Mahoney Brains. Here, this is the place where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. Welcome home, Brains.
Coming to you straight from San Diego, California, let's welcome our host, April Mahoney.
Hello, Brains, and welcome back to On the Edge with April Mahoney. Are you a woman that is of a particular age? Have you just think that life has just paused because you're going through the menopause? Do you understand the signs and symptoms? How are you reacting? How are you responding? And what are you doing to get better? Some are using hormone replacement therapy. Some are just struggling with it. The hot flashes, the mood swings, the weight gain. Well, we have an expert here, and her name is Lauren Chilrin, and she is from the UK. She used to be in the financial services, but, you know, early in her 30s, she started having signs and symptoms of what she thought was early onset dementia, which was a part of the pause. So we're going to talk about it because, of course, I'm going to admit to it. I've been going through it, and it's not pretty. But I'll share with you how I've been handling it and getting through. So thank you and welcome our guest today here on the Edge, Lauren Chilrin. Hello, Lauren. How are you?
Hey, April. I'm really good. How are you?
I'm wonderful. Thank you so much for being here all the way from the UK. I've gotten so many great guests from over there. I want to see if women are going through the same thing that we're going through here in the United States when it comes to the change of life, hormones, and the menopause. So tell us a little bit about your experience and who you are and how you show up in the world.
Sure. Well, I'm working in this space simply because of what I went through. I had my son when I was 37, and I was working in financial services. I was senior executive leading global teams in America, India, the UK, and beyond. And I loved my life. Everything was going great. I had this gorgeous little boy. And then I suddenly started finding that my concentration was challenged, that my ability to step up and speak out in meetings was really difficult, that sometimes I would just forget that I'd driven home, which is like an hour's journey from the office to my house. And I genuinely thought I had early onset dementia. So I left my job, and I believed then that I was going to have to find someone to bring up my then 8-year-old son, and I was going to have to rock somewhere quietly in a corner of a home somewhere whilst someone else looked after me. And it wasn't until I went to my doctor, and he was amazing. He said to me, Lauren, you don't have early onset dementia. You've just been through an early menopause. And I literally punched the air with joy, and I went, yes, don't have dementia. I was like the happiest menopausal woman on the planet.
So you pushed him in the air, you didn't punch him in the nose when you realized what was going on.
I didn't punch him at all. He was my savior. So no, I just punched the air with joy going, yeah, I get it now. It makes sense. Mm-hmm. But because I was on the contraceptive pill that meant I didn't have monthly bleeds, because I was below the normal age of 45 to 55, and because I had quite a stressful life, but I thrived on that, I didn't join the dots because no one had ever spoken to me about menopause before. And yeah, it was like a relief.
Well, in your 30s, that's not really a conversation that people are having unless you've had, you know, a hysterectomy or you've had some other, you know, female problems. Thyroids can also can bring on that. So what were some of the symptoms that you were having when you said early onset dementia? You said that you were having memory loss and what else?
Yeah, I think the early onset dementia was just struggling with memory, trying to form words in my mouth, not having the confidence to speak up in meetings. I mean, I was the only female in my team, so there's 18 of us, and it was a very male-dominant environment. I would suddenly kind of find myself withdrawn. I find that I was outside the circle of trust in the office, and just generally, having had a grandparent go through Alzheimer's, I recognized a lot of the symptoms. And that's what made me think I had early onset dementia.
Okay, so then you come to the realization, okay, it's not early onset dementia. This is the menopause. Tell us the difference when they went to define actually what these symptoms were, separating one from the other. What did the doctor tell you?
So basically, he explained to me that I've had an early menopause. My monthly cycle had stopped for over 12 months, which is the definition of menopause. Menopause is just a day in time. It's a celebration, the 12-month anniversary of your last monthly cycle. And he explained that as progesterone and estrogen diminish, that can have an impact on the symptoms you experience. And there's over 34 recognized symptoms of menopause. So they're everything from psychological, emotional, physical symptoms. And I had experienced quite a few of them. When I was in conversation with him, I realized that my sleeplessness, my night sweats, my loss of concentration, my loss of self-esteem, loss of self-confidence, my inability to recall, to hold information in my mind, were all heavily related to the diminishing estrogen and progesterone levels in my body. And once I put all that together and I understood what was going on, it made sense. And I felt great because I could understand what was going on. It was temporary. And you come out the other side, and the other side is great.
If you come out on the other side, because, you know, I had some medical challenges and I went through menopause, well, signs of menopause is in my 40s. I'm in my 50s now. And those night sweats are enough to make you want to shoot yourself in the big toe. Girl, they are ugly. You'll talk to someone and you'll be drenching wet. There's nothing that you can do until it goes through your entire body. Your mood swings, the weight gain, all of those are signs and symptoms. So there's a lot of women that are opting to use synthetic hormone replacement therapy. What's your feeling on that? How did you get better?
I got better by finding out that I didn't have early onset dementia. So basically, as soon as I knew that I didn't have a lifelong, potentially life-limiting disease, I felt like $1 million. And I went off and I retrained. I've done 6 years worth of health coach training. I've done personality profiling training. I have done a master's. I've done all sorts of qualifications to learn about menopause and about health and to understand how we can change how we manage our symptoms through our own choices. But the interesting thing for me is that my doctor did put me on hormone replacement therapy. And for that first month that he put me on it, I felt great. I felt great psychologically because I now knew what was going on with me. Physically, apart from the night sweats, I hadn't had that many symptoms. Well, I had a couple of symptoms, but they weren't that bad. For me, it was all psychological stuff. So when I was on HRT, I got sore boobs, I got backache, I got a heavy period, and I got sore stomach, and all the classic premenstrual symptoms suddenly hit me with like a sledgehammer. So when I went back to my doctor, I said, I can't tolerate that. I just can't tolerate it. I'd rather go without anything and just deal with it through natural ways. And that's what I've done. I'm now more than 10 years postmenopausal. So it would be contraindicated for me now to take hormone replacement therapy, sadly. And I wish I knew back then what I know now, because if we're going to live, which we do into our 80s nowadays, and we want our bodies to function normally, and we want our brain and our heart and our joints to be really super strong, then we were not intended to be on this planet that long without estrogen in our bodies.
Right.
So I would have personally chosen to take HRT if I knew 10 years ago what I know now. But sadly, because I've gone 10 years, it's too late for me to be able to take it because it's contraindicated and it increases the risks of links to cancer.
Right.
But you live and learn, so I can help other people now.
You do. And you know, you said to me, you said that it's not a lifelong. Well, African-American women are known to go through the menopause and menopause symptoms about 10 years. 10 yeah. years, brains. Longer than Caucasian women. And, you know, it can be hell. It can be hell on many levels. What are some of the things that you offer in your coaching and your training now to help yeah. women identify and to, again, to start? The first thing I did was I started a food journal.
Yeah.
I noticed with the food journal, excuse me. Let me get a drink of water. Hold on.
I like the mug.
Thank you. I get choked up just thinking about it. But the food journal really, really helped me. You know, it was caffeine. It was sugar. I would eat certain things, and then I would time myself. When would I start having these symptoms? you know, when would I have the hot flash? Would it be about an hour afterwards? And I started charting what these things were. Soy was a big problem for me as well. So again, how do you work with your clients to help them identify, you know, the steps to take to see how they're going to heal and how they're going to get through this?
Yeah, you made a really good point about the length of time that symptoms last, and symptoms could go on for between 3 and 15 years. So you're absolutely right. They can go on for a very long time, but we do come around the other side. And for many women, we get a kick in testosterone when we get through the other side, which gives us an element of confidence, which is fantastic. I think I got my
face. It's not all that fantastic because you get facial hair too.
Well, you just have to, tweezers become your best friend, right? So, but we lose hair in places. Some of us lose hair in places that, you know, I don't have to worry about,
right,
you know, tying things up anymore. Like, you know, it's great. It's fantastic. But basically when I work with a client, it's very much based on who they are, what they're going through, what their life circumstances are. So we will start out by just having a really deep, meaningful conversation around where they were and where they want to get to, based on the fact that something has changed for them and may or may not be aware. So you said correctly that thyroid issues can, you know, mimic menopause symptoms, and also adrenal fatigue can mimic menopause symptoms. And there are many other conditions as well that can overlay. So it's important to make sure that there's no underlying medical condition that needs to be addressed with medicine. And then thereafter, it's about taking back your natural physiology, getting your brain connected again with your body. Because we live in a Western world, typically in the US and the UK, whereby we get drawn into eating and drinking things that our bodies weren't intended to. You identify caffeine and sugar. A lot of people, I know so many professional women that the first thing on their mind when they go home at night is alcohol. So caffeine, sugar, alcohol, red meat, spicy food are all typical triggers for hot flushes and for night sweats as well. So I work with someone to help them declutter their life. I help to really get rid of those relationships that we all have that take from us but don't give. I teach women to put their own oxygen mask on so that they can really look after themselves and then be of service to other people. Because I don't know about you, April, but I know over here that women are so busy working, looking after their families, their children, their partners, their elderly relatives. They put themselves last on the list. Mm-hmm. So what I do is reverse that. And I help them create that 1 minute a day, 2 minutes a day, 5 minutes a day, and really build up that time. And that's why I run things like the retreat we were just talking about in October in the Highlands of Scotland, so that women, it's called a moment of me time, because it's so important that we look after ourselves. And we look at nutrition and exactly what you do, keeping a diary, and we record, I have got a very systematic way of doing it, but we keep a diary. So we record the protein that we eat, or the meal we have, and 20 minutes and 2 hours later, what's our energy like?
Right.
What are our symptoms like? And then that helps us understand how food's impacting us. Hydration is so important. If we're having night sweats and we're having hot flushes and we're not hydrating ourselves, our body systems can't work properly. So we've got to be well hydrated and moving our bodies, getting that heart rate going. So I work with all the natural things, giving back, making sure we're of service, but doing it with ourselves being number one. And it's all with the psychological work. It's all to do with neuropsychology. It's all to do with how we manage our outlook on the world. Because when you're going through something that's really difficult, it can be so tough to want to do stuff.
Right, absolutely. But it's about honoring yourself too. Now, you know, you and I are 50 plus. And there's a lot of things that go on, and people, you know, they blame it on the menopause. I would really get into deep, ugly conversations with my brother because he thought it was funny. You know, oh, you know, you're having a hot flash and all that kind of stuff, you know. But it's very emotional. So mentally, there's challenges there as well, too. And when you get to a particular age, there's not a whole lot of stuff that you're going to put up with that you put up with in your 20s, that you're going to put up in your 50s. So you really have to temper yourself, ladies. You have to be a good listener. That was my message today in my morning meditation, is to open my ears and be a good listener. You have to be a little bit more in tune to your surroundings because everybody's not there. Also, too, your sex drive. Now, some women's sex drive really increase during this time. and others completely fall off. I mean, you have vaginal drying, you have, you know, again, tenderness in your breasts, all of those type of things. So the symptoms can be different for each person. Do you think that requires medication, or do you think that that just, you know, can be a part of the process and a part of the learning and the awareness?
Yeah, and it's interesting because I think you interviewed Dr. Liz Lister as well, who's
phenomenal. Oh, I love Dr. Liz Lister. Yeah. I love her. She does she's the best brains. Go back and listen to it.
Yeah, she's amazing. And so I've had good conversations with Dr. Liz. And it's quite interesting because when you talk about libido and sex drive and vaginal dryness and vaginal atrophy, simply there's a couple of different things to look at. One, I work with a psychosexual doctor over here because if you've lost your libido, typically there's a psychological element to that as well as a physical element. So you need to take out the sex drive and the sexual function and as into two separate things because they are managed and dealt with very differently. With vaginal dryness, before you even get that stage, I was taught quite early on that as much as you moisturize your face, you should moisturize down below as well. And that's why there's some very natural, very beautiful products on the market that you can use to daily moisturize just to keep things.
And some of the manufacturers have been on my show, Brains. Oh, yes, we got everything for you. So, yeah, I understand that. And again, understanding your partner's needs as well, and having a partner that is empathetic, not sympathetic, but empathetic to what you're going through, because, you know, they just think that you're just flying off the handle. And it's not that. And your children. You know, how you relate to your children, how you talk to your children, all of that is psychological too. And that is an impact. You're going through a deep transition. Now, Dr. Liz Lister does human, it's not synthetic. It's, what is the hormone that she...
BHRT.
Yes, BHRT. So that is kind of like a... for the lack of a better term, synthetic replica of the human hormones that we're replacing?
There's different types of HRT out there. Some, the BHRT tends to be more natural, the HRT tends to be not. So it just depends what type of practitioner. One is regulated, which is the HRT, and BHRT is not regulated. So there's a lot. I'm not a medic.
I mean, just to kind of identify so people have the information. Are these injectables? Are they tablets? How do you take the medication?
So HRT generally comes in gels, pumps, sprays, coils, patches, tablets. They can come estrogen, progesterone, testosterone separately, combined. There's lots of different ways, and there's different prescribing laws across the states and across the UK as well. So there are many. I always say to people, if you're concerned about your symptoms, go to your doctor and have a conversation with your doctor. Prepare by creating a list of your symptoms and the severity of them. Take them in. And in the UK, sometimes a doctor's appointment can be as little as 5 minutes long. So you need to really prepare for that appointment and be clear on what outcome you want from the appointment. But I always say to people, if you're going to go down the medical route, think about it like this. When you're in your teens and puberty and you start dating, you might meet a few people that are not quite the right one for you. Mm-hmm. And HRT is a bit like that. Sometimes you have to try a few different prescriptions before the one that is right for you. And that can take time. It's not an exact science. So you just have to be patient. You have to try what works for you and then just try it for a while until you get the one that you choose, if that's the route that you want to go down. But there's so much that you can do as well. And just one point that I think is quite important, going back to the vaginal dryness, if that is something you're struggling with really badly, you can take localized estrogen internally, which is not HRT, it's just localized estrogen, and that can fix that problem for you. Mm-hmm. So I've worked with couples, and it has been as simple as getting them to open up communication. And you said quite rightly, you know, your partner still has needs. Your partner may still have a different appetite to you, but right. It's about being creative as well. So it's just being conscious of what you're both going through.
Exactly. So let me ask you some fun questions. What are you going through there in the UK? So if you could just really kind of assess one client, and with that client, you want to give them some words of encouragement. that they're going to get through this, what would you say to them?
Oh, they are going to get through. There's no problem. So if someone comes to me and they're like, oh, I just need to get my calm back. I need to get my focus back. I want to get me back. You know, I've lost myself. It's just about saying it's temporary. It's a temporary phase. Just think about when you went through puberty. We kind of expect our teenagers to go slightly off the rails, to be slightly moody, to push the boundaries, to behave in strange ways. We're just kind of going through the other side. We're coming out the other side, and we are about to come into our absolute element. We're coming into our wisdom. We're coming into our power, and we have got the whole of the next section of our lives to look forward to and really stamp our mark.
You know, they said women are very emotional, and we are emotional creatures. But as the world is changing, you know, women are going to take back over the planet. How do we manage, do you think, from a coaching perspective and a health perspective, how do we manage our emotions to make us more balanced? I mean, you know, we can do all these things with all of these great hormone replacement therapies, but what do we look for in ourselves to just kind of create a harmonious balance? Does that make sense?
Absolutely makes sense. And I'm not sure that I would answer the question you've asked me. I think I would say that it's less about us creating harmonious balance to appear more calm for other people. It's more about accepting who we are. Okay. And actually, I think that if you are a certain way, live it, love it, and educate the people around you about what that is. As women are working longer and later into life, we're taking on higher positions in the world. We're becoming the leaders of the economy. We are the women age 50 plus are the fastest growing economically active group in the UK and the US. You're right. We are taking over. So why change us? Why not change the people around us to accept us for who we are?
Well, girl, that's a tall order, okay? That's
my mission.
Exactly. And you worked, and I asked you this question because you worked in a very high stress position before, mostly male dominated. Did you find that you had a little bit more testosterone? Did you, you know, again, because you had to level up, you had to match up. And then when you went through this, and you kind of leveled out, did you find a softer side of yourself?
That's a great question. From a very, very young age, I've always been doing male-dominated sports. I've always had male-dominated roles. I'm just quite masculinely wired. Mm-hmm. However, I think that as a result of my experience, I learned that I'd been putting on a corporate mask for years. And I hadn't even realized I was doing that. So I'd increased my stress levels, which is why I say we should embrace ourselves the way we are and educate the people around us. However, am I softer, kinder? I'm far more empathetic.
Right.
I'm far more accepting of the woman that's got a monthly cycle problem or endometriosis or IBS or infertility issues, all things I'm qualified to coach on now and to support people through. But I think it's very much about raising awareness. It's about accepting the person as they are. Right. And yeah, I think there's probably, having my sons probably brought out the feminine side in me.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's good. And so how to get in contact with you, Lauren? Mm-hmm. People want to know, they want to touch you, they want to work with you. I know that you have an online presence.
I do. So the website is womenofacertainstage.com and Facebook is the same, Women of a Certain Stage. They're probably the two easiest ways to get hold of me. And if you want to send me an email direct, it's Lauren, LAUREN, at womenofacertainstage.com. Thank you.
Well, I think that you are doing amazing work. And thank you. Thank you so much, because we need all of the great help that you can offer us. It is a trying time, brains, but there's nothing to be ashamed about or embarrassed about. There are tons of options out there. You know, a little bit of trial and error. Everybody's different. Check in with your physician, see what you can do, and contact great people like Lauren there in the UK that is, you know, dedicating their life to help us get through it, because the struggle is real. Take it from somebody that knows. Thank you so much for being here on The Edge with us. You're a wealth of information. Brains, go back and listen to other edgy conversations. We had Dr. Liz Lister. We have other guests that have produced products that help you if you have a vaginal drying. We also have great counselors that talk about how to kind of get through this and identify with what's wrong, or, you know, just trying to figure out what's right. Thank you so much for being here on The Edge, Lauren. You are the best.
Thank you. Thank you, April, for having me.
Bye, brains.